This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Black History Month began this week. At Day to Day, we'll be taking looks at different aspects of black history over the next few weeks. We begin not in the United States, but in Liberia. Later this week, the UN is hosting a conference on rebuilding the war-torn country. As the country continues to struggle in the aftermath of its civil war, the question many are posing is, how did things reach this point? The answer seems to be buried in the late 19th century. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates talked with author Alan Huffman, whose new book, Mississippi in Africa, draws the connection between freed American slaves and the carnage in Liberia today.
Alan Huffman, you learned of Prospect Hill Plantation and the stories of the slaves who moved to Africa when you were growing up. Can you tell us how?
Well, from a friend of mine whose family was related to a man named Isaac Ross in southwest Mississippi, a slaveholder, he put in his will that at the time of his daughter's death, the plantation would be sold and the money used to pay the way of all the slaves who wanted to immigrate to Liberia. His heirs contested the will, and it was tied up in court for a decade. And there was allegedly a slave uprising during that time, and the house was burned, and a little girl died, and a group of slaves were lynched. And the family's telling me this, you know, horrific story, and I thought it would be interesting to find out what became of everybody, the slaves who went to Liberia, the ones who stayed home, and then the divided slaveholding family. So it just sort of grew from there.
You discovered that this story varied greatly depending on who was telling it. What kinds of variations did you hear in terms of how Prospect Hill came to be destroyed and who was responsible for it?
Well, you know, you had the two slaveholding sides, which were the family that supported the will and the heirs who chose not to. And so the family that was objecting to the will saw that this was basically a property issue, and the family that supported the will saw it as a humanitarian issue. And then when I started talking to African Americans, there was usually no mention of a slave uprising, and that's one of the reasons I became skeptical about it.
Everyone involved agrees that several former slaves from Prospect Hill agreed to emigrate to Liberia and did indeed take that trip. You followed the story to Liberia. What did you discover about how the former Prospect Hill slaves lived there?
Well, they were members of the aristocracy. The settlers were 5% of the population, but they ruled the country absolutely.
How did that happen?
Partly it was having access to some capital and education. Partly it was the occasional and sometimes really random intervention of the U.S. Navy or even the British Navy to help them fend off the tribes. And they took over the coastal areas and sort of drove most of the indigenous groups inland. And they just sort of built this aristocracy, you know, replicated much of what they had known in the American South, which, you know, the architecture, establishing plantations, having house servants.
What was the relationship like between the people sometimes referred to as free Negroes and Native Africans? Was there tension between them?
It's important to understand that the settlers that came from, at least the group that I followed, saw themselves as Americans. They saw that the Africans as, you know, pagan groups that were uncouth, and they tended to look down on them and felt like they were superior to them, and that some of them had a missionary zeal and felt it was their responsibility to bring these people up to civilized standards. No, didn't matter to them that the civilization that was in place had been there for centuries. So, I mean, it's not hard to see why the groups ran into trouble right from the very beginning.
That's a huge irony.
Yes, there's a lot of ironies in this story, and, you know, one of them being that most of the descendants that I met in Liberia were trying to get back to the United States because the situation is so difficult for them there.
And how does the blowback, I guess, from the early tensions affect the crisis in Liberia now?
Well, it was the mid-20th century before even the indigenous groups were allowed to vote, and still they had second-class status until the coup in 1980, and then the country has been in and out of civil war ever since. But there's no question that the root causes lie in that original conflict between the freed slaves and the indigenous groups.
Some people have suggested that the Liberian colonization experiment was a failure. Do you agree?
No, I don't. There was a long period of time for when the settlers flourished there, and there were periods when the country was stable and there were jobs and that sort of thing. The Civil War, you know, it has been so horrible that it's easy to look at it and say that the whole thing was a failure, but I don't think most Liberians see it that way.
Journalist Alan Huffman is the author of Mississippi in Africa. He spoke to us from our New York bureau. Mr. Huffman, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And that interview by Day-to-Day's Karen Grigsby Bates.